When you switch to GEICO, you've got claims reps available around the clock. So whenever you need, you'll have people around to help. It kind of feels like having the TV on in the background when you're home alone. Isn't that soothing?
It feels good to have support. It feels good to GEICO.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was watching the aftermath of this luncheon yesterday that President Trump had with Senate Republicans. And I have a few thoughts about that as we start off today's program. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We're just so honored that you are hanging out with us today. 3 hours of conservative conversation. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. And for whatever reason, this week we've had several seminar callers who have been weighing in and challenging us on a number of issues. And, of course, we're always happy to debate on this program. But many of them have no interest in debating. They just want to spew their left-wing nonsense. But I want to get back to this aftermath of this luncheon where we're getting some inclination that it was just incredibly ugly. Senator Bill Cassidy out of Louisiana screamed at President Trump and apparently became so enraged that he had to be physically restrained. I was talking to someone who was in the room, and I'm not allowed to share the individual's name, but Trump, the president, was looking at John Thune saying, basically, what are you going to tolerate this? You know, the president gave him the what for yesterday, and apparently Cassidy didn't like it. And he wouldn't even call the president, President Trump. He disrespected our president. We're going to talk to Dr. John Fleming about this. He's running for the U.S. Senate. He's in a primary battle right now. And Dr. Fleming is actually the true conservative in this race. And I want to say something very, very clear here, that we need people like John Fleming in the Senate because he is a rock-solid conservative, and he's not going to pull a Bill Cassidy on the good people of Louisiana. But the idea that Cassidy, he was out there, and I guess instead of calling him President Trump, he called him brother. Brother. I mean, at what point does John Thune stand up and put a stop to that kind of nonsense? And that's just flat-out disrespecting. But look, these rhinos are enraged, and these rhinos, like Bill Cassidy, you've got John Cornyn, you've got Tom Tillis, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins. There are a few others in the mix. And they all have grievances against our president. And the fact of the matter is, you've got 53 Republicans, and you're telling me we cannot get anything through the U.S. Senate. 53 Republicans. We have a majority. We've even got J.D. Vance standing by in the event there's a tie. But the Republicans, it's not that they can't muster the numbers, because they do have the numbers. It's that they don't want to. They don't want to. And John Thune, and to show you how just awful this was yesterday, John Thune did not escort President Trump out of the Capitol. As a matter of fact, John Thune turned his back on the president and just walked away. Walked away. That tells you everything you need to know about John Thune. Now, I want to say something about all the rest of them. There are some. I think Tommy Tuberville, for example, and Mike Lee come to mind. And I want to be careful because I don't want to paint with a broad brush. But I do think this bears a phone call. And I'm encouraging you this week to call your senators. And you need to find out a couple of things. Number one, you need to find out why they have not publicly condemned John Thune and the rogue Republican senators. Why haven't they done that? I mean, aside from those two, I mean, you've got Mike Lee out of Utah and you've got Tuberville out of Alabama. Do you know of any other Republicans that are out there? And there may be some. So that's why I don't want to paint with a broad brush here. But there may be some that are out there calling these guys out, but I haven't heard from them. And that is a troubling thing. So you need to be calling your senators and saying, hey, number one, why aren't you calling these guys out publicly at this point? And the reason why it has to be public is that John Thune is now taking his opposition to the president public. Senator Cassidy is taking his opposition to the president public. So where are all of these other Republicans that are many of them are supposed to be, I don't know, America First conservatives? At least they're supposed to be. That's what they've told us they are. They're not certainly behaving like it. I'm just telling you, something's not right here. And I will just, I don't want to go down this path, but it does make you wonder if maybe an overwhelming majority of the Republican Senate stands opposed to Donald Trump here. Maybe that's what's going on. So anyway, you need to be calling your senators and you need to be demanding, first of all, that they openly condemn John Thune. And then you need to find out why they have not voted to remove John Thune from leadership. Do you think this guy deserves to be a leader? He's standing in opposition to the president. By the way, they're about to adjourn until nearly the end of July. Not even adjourn. No, they're not going to go into recess. They're not doing the recess, so Trump won't be able to make any recess appointments. John Thune is effectively stopping Donald Trump's agenda. And that's why Trump is so upset. And I don't blame him one bit. But we need to start putting every single Republican lawmaker, we need to put the squeeze on them so they know they've got to do something. And I'm almost getting to the point. I'm not quite there yet. Some of these people don't deserve to be reelected. They really don't. That's how bad it is. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Curious to hear your thoughts on that. This is an interesting bit of news from the website End Wokeness. You folks in Georgia, this is fascinating. White people are becoming a minority in the state of Georgia for the first time. According to state population growth from 2020 to 2025, these are fascinating numbers. 40% of the new residents in Georgia are Hispanic. 33% of the new residents are African. And 20% of the new residents are Asian. The white population in Georgia fell by 25,000. Demographers did not expect Georgia to be majority-minority until at least the year 2060. So what's going on here? Because it's not natural. This is something that is forced. It's not organic. During the Obama administration, you had a massive influx of peoples, of migrants, illegal and otherwise, into places like Georgia and Tennessee and Texas and Minnesota. And the whole point was to turn these rock-solid red states blue. So there was a method to their madness here. But I'm curious, are you guys surprised by these numbers? Whites becoming a minority in the state of Georgia for the first time in American history. Very interesting. Let's go to the phones here. Nate in Tallahassee, Florida, watching us on our YouTube channel today. Hi, Nate. What's on your mind?
Hey, Todd. Before I say anything, I just want to say I'm a huge fan of yours, and I've been a conservative since high school, and you helped get me conservative, actually.
Well, thank you very much for that, Nate. I appreciate those kind words.
Yes, sir. You were talking previously about how Senator John Thune is not very conservative in the Senate, and I have an unpopular opinion among a lot of other Republicans, but I think I know who would make a very good Senate Majority Leader if he was given a proper chance.
I'm all ears. Who would that be?
I honestly think Senator Ted Cruz would make a very good Senate Majority Leader.
Is that right? Why would you say Ted Cruz?
Well, for one thing, he's a constitutional conservative, and he's not afraid about saying that. Number two is he will not compromise with the Democrats a lot of times, as he's proven before. And even though he was skeptical of Trump, he's been a very good Trump ally in the Senate for a while.
Yeah, I think there's a pretty good argument that could be made there. Ted Cruz would be great. We just need somebody who is going to move the president's agenda through the Senate. I mean, that's pretty much what we need. It could be Helen, our lovely booker and call screener, as long as we got the agenda through the Senate.
Absolutely. And I'm a Floridian, so I got Rick Scott as my senator right now and Ashley Moody. And I'd put Rick Scott or Mike Lee as a personal close second. But like you said, we need somebody who's not afraid of the Democrat backlash. And I honestly think Ted Cruz would be the guy who's proven he's not afraid. I mean, he went on the liberal organizations debating Bernie Sanders, and he wasn't afraid to do that.
No, it's true. And he is a great, you know, a debater. You know, there have been a lot of talk about Trump putting Cruz on the Supreme Court, you know, again, which would be a great move as well. But I like your idea, Nate. I think that's pretty sharp.
Absolutely. And I've met Ron DeSantis in person as my governor. I met him just randomly out in Tallahassee. And he's another good leader who I think could be a future candidate for the GOP, not only as president, but I think, honestly, he should seek the Senate. His term is limited, and he's going to be out in January. So that might be an option for him to seek a Senate seat.
Nate, I'm curious.
That's another star leader.
You know, I'm curious about DeSantis because I really like the guy. And, I mean, his policies are pretty spectacular. But I think there are a lot of folks in the America First movement that just, for some reason, don't like the guy. What's your take on that?
I think, honestly, because he was one of the leading candidates as a challenger to Trump, and don't get me wrong, I voted for Trump in every election he's run on. I'm definitely a constitutional conservative first, and I do like a lot of what MAGA does, and don't get me wrong, like I said, I voted for Trump. It's just DeSantis has some different opinions, and a lot of the MAGA diehards even attacked me for saying, well, DeSantis might be somebody else to consider. It's just his opinions are different.
Now, it makes sense. It does. And again, I think DeSantis, I think we're going to have a nice bench come 2028, but we just can't kill each other. That's the big problem on the Republican side of the aisle.
Absolutely. And I got friends who are both Democrats and independents, and we have peaceful talks with each other, and we can agree to disagree. And that's the thing, I don't agree with a lot of major politics. It's always you got to be on one side or the other. Even the founding fathers had to compromise with each other on multiple issues to get the Constitution written.
Fair enough, Nate. It's a great point. All right, look, a great call, Nate. Give us a holler back, and we appreciate you watching the show on YouTube.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate it, and I also own your book, Godless America. It's one of the best books I've ever read.
Well, you're very kind, Nate. I'm excited to announce, by the way, that we've got a brand new book coming out in August. It's called The Golden Age: How Trump Saved America. And folks, got to get yourself a pre-ordered copy of that. You can do that wherever you buy your books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. But pre-order a copy today, ladies and gentlemen. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, Tucker Carlson. He's coming after President Trump, and it is ugly, and it is it's just nasty, and it's incredibly disrespectful. But Donald J. Trump in the crosshairs of Tucker Carlson. We'll tell you what he said coming up.
Hey, guys, quick heads up. This is actually a big one. We're saying goodbye to something that's helped thousands of families over the years. The Patriot Power Generator, one of the best-selling solar generators of 2025, is officially being retired. And the reason? They've just released something even better. It's called the Patriot Power Generator 2200X, and this is their most powerful model yet. It's built for real-life situations, storms, outages, emergencies, when you need power the most. To launch it, they're doing something pretty crazy right now. You can get $500 off the generator, plus they're including two free solar panels, so you can double your charging power right out of the box. They're also throwing in a heavy-duty roll-in go-kart, an extended 3-year warranty. And if you're a senior or a veteran, you can save an additional $200. And here's the part that really stands out. Because they offer a payment plan, you can get started today for just $299, and it ships as soon as tomorrow, But this is a limited launch offer. It's first come, first served, and these kinds of deals don't stick around, especially with how unpredictable power outages have been lately. So if you've ever thought about having backup power for your home, now's the time to do it. Stay safe, stay prepared, and don't wait until the lights go out. Go to StarnsPrepper.com right now to take advantage of this limited time offer.
I don't know what to make of Tucker Carlson. I wish I could figure this one out. He's always been something of a contrarian, I suppose. I mean, you know, going back to his days on the old CNN Crossfire, he's sort of been all over the place. And now he did an interview, and this is just weird. I know it's causing a lot of angst around a lot of people. Dylan, were you ever a big Tucker Carlson guy?
When he left Fox, I feel like a lot of people sort of gravitated to his style of broadcasting. I mean, he did the podcast thing, which a lot of Gen Z people like. I never really was on the train fully. I did catch a few episodes if he had a big guest on, but never I never fully bought into it.
Yeah, they thought that, you know, the whole network was going to collapse once Tucker left. Of course, they said that about Bill O'Reilly, and if the network was going to collapse, it would have collapsed with Bill O'Reilly leaving, which, of course, it did not. And at first, I mean, everybody was trying to woo Tucker. Every conservative network out there wanted the guy. So anyway, he's doing this interview with this podcast. You ever hear of this guy, Jack Neal, host of the Jack Neal podcast?
Can't say I have.
He's a young guy. He hangs out with who's the guy that takes the hammer and chisels his face?
It's clavicular.
Clavicular, yeah.
I can't ever say his name, seriously.
I don't want to call him the C word because people would miss it. Yeah, they would take that out of.
Yes. Clav.
Clav, thank you. We should have asked Ryan Leonard. I think they pal around or something.
They're all friends.
Yeah. Anyway, he was on Jack Neal's podcast and was talking about President Trump and called the president the B word. I mean, this is insanity. Why would you do that? So Tucker earlier this week announced that he was officially done supporting the Republican Party. Let's take a listen to cut three, please.
I would not support the Republican Party. There's no chance I would support the Republican Party. I'm not going to support the Democratic Party. I don't know what I'm going to do. But at this point, you know, how could I or any American voter support a political party that's not loyal to the United States, that puts the interests of a foreign country above those of its own citizens? Like, it's not possible to vote for people like that. And I'm not going to. And I think I voted Republican my entire life. I worked at Fox News, CNN, right. MSNBC. I've been a consistent defender for 35 years of the Republican Party. I mean, very consistent defender, but there's no defending this because it's immoral and it's exactly the opposite of what a political party in a democracy is charged with doing, which is representing its own voters, its own citizens, its own nation. And they're not doing that. So no, I'm out. And if I'm out, then I think a lot of other people are out.
All right. Do you agree or disagree with Tucker Carlson there? We're going to play the longer version of this interview where he went after President Trump. It's just really, really disgusting. A lot of people are wondering, and I get this, I get at least once a week, I'll get three or four emails. What's wrong with Tucker? And I just want to posit this theory and this idea because I genuinely don't know. Because now he says he was never MAGA. So I guess that was all just what, a grift? That he was just what, pretending? I'm not sure why you would pretend when it comes to supporting MAGA or the America First Movement. He says he was never MAGA, whatever that means. So anyway, there was a while back, it was in 2024. You might remember this interview. Tucker was doing, this is when things were getting a little squirrely with Tucker. And Tucker gave an interview and he said that he had been mauled by a demon, like he was asleep in bed and he was fighting, he was wrestling with a demon. He said the experience of evil was a spiritual attack. And he said it was a demon or something unseen. And he said that it literally left physical claw marks, like claw marks on his body. And at the time, he said they were still there. So I don't know. I mean, is it possible that he this actually happened and that he has been possessed by something? Or has he just had a radical transformation of his worldview? I don't know.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit ncl.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
The Democrats are watching the far left wing, the socialist wing of their party, press on. Senator Schumer dodged a bit when he was asked about it yesterday.
About the candidates who lost the race, it feels like he's going after establishment folks here. I mean, are you concerned about your own race coming up?
Do you still feel like this is the same party that you once elected you 50 years ago?
We have a great unified party, and we're going to stop Trump.
Are you worried about your political future now?
He doesn't like to answer any of those questions.
Don't blame me. I mean, the Bolsheviks are in charge of his party, and they're stone cold crazy. They're living proof that evolution is a slow process. Listening to them just lowers my IQ. As one of your guests said earlier, it's like something out of a grad school coffee shop. And I'm sorry for America, but it'll be the best thing that happened to my party. I mean, because most Americans are going to listen to these pencil necks and say, well, you know, Republicans aren't perfect, but the other side's crazy. it's up to Senator Schumer and the other reasonably mature adults in their party to push back.
All right, that was Senator John Kennedy on Fox News talking about what happened in New York City. An issue that is, quite frankly, monumental, and it should serve as a warning to the rest of the nation, because I don't believe this is an anomaly, ladies and gentlemen. I believe that the rise of, and let's get real here, it's communism. The rise of communism in the United States is going to continue, and it's not just limited to big cities like New York. Let's go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Welcome into the conversation, Seth Barron, member of the editorial board for the New York Post, also the author of a terrific book called Weaponized, The Left's Capture and Destruction of America's Sacred Institutions. Seth, good to have you with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on, Todd. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Well, let's talk about what happened yesterday. I don't believe yesterday was an anomaly. What say you?
Oh, no. I think this has been in the works for many years. And see, the problem is the mainstream Democratic Party doesn't stand for anything, and it no longer even represents the people that it claims to. It only represents the public sector unions, nonprofit organizations, and some consultants. They're completely divorced from the base. They just got fat and lazy. So you get these energetic socialist communist grad students to come in and organize a few thousand of their comrades to go and take over the party. I mean, it's astounding. It's very much like what the Bolsheviks did. A tiny minority party can seize control, and it's not that hard.
Well, it's not. And I think, again, the concern when you look at the voting demographics, and I think the New York Post did a pretty terrific breakdown that showed a majority of the people voting here were, in fact, young white kids that were de facto leftists. I suspect we're going to see more of that around the country, because this is what these kids are learning. I don't think they're having these conversations around the dinner table. I think they're learning this nonsense in their taxpayer-funded schools.
Yeah, absolutely. These are people who are over-credentialed and underemployed. They grew up with a sense of, you know, I guess you could call it entitlement to, you know, so that they have this expectation of luxury communism, like just that everything should be available. Everything that seems nice, they should be able to have. They want $400 apartments in a cool neighborhood. They want jobs that aren't very demanding, that will, like, you know, sound impressive. And this is who what the colleges have created, this extremely entitled communistic mindset. It's really a disaster. I mean, this woman, Daria Liza, who got elected uptown, she's been a graduate student for the last 7 years, and she claims that she complains that things are too unaffordable. Well, yeah, of course they're unaffordable if you don't have any money.
It's a great point. Yeah, I'm trying to figure out why is it taking you 7 years to get your degree? At some point, you need to just throw your hands up in the air and go get a job down at your, I don't know, women's gender studies bookstore or something in Brooklyn. Sure.
Listen, I mean, I was in grad school. I understand it can take a long time, but then when I was in grad school, I didn't complain that society was keeping me down by not letting me have enough money to go visit Dominican Republic 3 times a year. It's completely insane. Yeah. The lunatics have taken control of the asylum, you know, and I think John Kennedy's right. I mean, Senator Kennedy, in that the Democrats, this is the Democrats' problem. They have to deal with this. I can't help them. I don't really particularly want to help them. They let this happen.
Well, here's what concerns me. You're right. It's the Democrats' problem. No doubt about that. The fact of the matter is the only reason, I think one of the chief reasons they won is that only about 17% of Democrat voters actually turned out, registered voters turned out, and you had a good number of young people showing up. My concern is we've been watching primary after primary where Republican vote has been not very good. Republicans seem to be disengaged. They don't seem to be excited about the elections. And the concern I would have, and I know that there are other candidates who share this point of view, they may not be Democratic Socialists, but they certainly share that point of view, that could end up getting elected as a result of Republicans just staying home and not voting.
That could easily happen. Look, the Republicans also have the same problem, which is we need to, you know, they need to formulate a point of view that isn't just negative, like we're not them. The Republicans have to get better at talking about prosperity, raising the standards of living, housing, liberty, and doing it in an effective, positive way that will inspire people actually to care and to turn out. The way it is now, you know, I think a lot of people don't really see that it matters very much who's in office.
Seth Barron and joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, author of a great book called Weaponized, The Left's Capture and Destruction of America's Sacred Institutions. Seth, I'm curious about your book. We talk a lot about this particular issue on this program. What would you say was there one particular moment, one particular story that really set you off to write the book?
I would say looking at the way in which the far left in New York was working to take over the Democratic Party and using this centrality of Palestine, making it all about Palestine, and that this was somehow the center of all American politics. I mean, it's crazy. I have a whole section in the book about how Angela Davis came through the ranks, was hugging the East German premier, won the Lenin Prize, and translated this whole vision of third world revolution to the American landscape. And so talking about how the NYPD and the IDF are the same thing, or how West Bank land problems are just what's happening with gentrification in Washington Heights. This crazy stuff really got me going, and so I talk a lot about that in the book.
And again, folks, the name of the book, Weaponized, The Left's Capture and Destruction of America's Sacred Institutions. What saddens me, and I've written a couple of books dealing with the destruction of the statues and the monuments and the whitewashing of American history. And it troubles me because you've got a generation of young people that are growing up and they're not being taught about America and American exceptionalism. And when you talk about sacred institutions, for me, it's that public school classroom, because that's where teachers are supposed to fill the minds of these kids with good things. And I'm afraid that they're churning out little radicals, and that troubles me.
Absolutely. The American Federation of Teachers, they essentially own the public schools in a great many jurisdictions. And, you know, they might not be quite as far out there as this Chevalier woman, but they're preaching the same stuff about white supremacy and the racial crimes of America and how it's impossible for anyone to get ahead, you know, the death of opportunity. So, you know, essentially they're laying the groundwork for when kids go to college and learn that America needs to be destroyed, which is literally what this woman wants and what the DSA wants. They want to dismantle what they call like colonial structures of colonial oppression, and that includes melting down the United States.
And Seth, again, is that word colonial, where do we really start hearing that particular phrase? It was when Barack Obama was running for the White House, and we started learning about his father and his anti-colonial viewpoints from back in the old country, Kenya.
Absolutely. And if you look at Mamdani, the mayor of New York, his father, it's the same thing. He's written whole books about Uganda and the Indian experience in Uganda and how America is this colonialist empire. And it's the same East African revolutionary, communist viewpoint. It's really crazy. I don't understand how this happened, but this is where we're at.
Well, Seth, we're going to have to leave it there. Congratulations on the book. Again, it's called Weaponized, The Left's Capture and Destruction of America's Sacred Institutions. Seth Barron from the New York Post. Congratulations on the book, Seth.
Thank you so much, Todd. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Good man right there, and a worthy read as well. All right. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that telephone number, 901-260-5926. Have you ever wondered what the Bible says about socialism and communism? Well, now you're going to be able to find out thanks to our good friend, Dr. Michael Youssef, who has created an incredible AI tool called My Faith Assistant. I want you to go check him out absolutely free of charge. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to share your email address. If you've got a question about the Bible and you want to know what the Bible says about a specific cultural issue, all you have to do is go to myfaithassistant.com. That's myfaithassistant.com. You'll be able to try it out for free. I use it all the time. I love this thing. And by the way, all of the answers are vetted theologically, and you're going to get a Bible-based answer. It is a Bible-based tool, redeeming AI, and it is going viral. I want you to go check them out, myfaithassistant.com. All right, welcome back, everybody. By the way, Sunday, First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, I'll be speaking in the Sunday morning worship services. Afterwards, we'll be doing a book signing, and I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of our listeners and friends in the Texarkana area. So if you're in that neighborhood, please be sure to drop by and say hello. We would love to see you out there. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So this is interesting. Caitlin Collins is not Caitlin Collins. Yeah, but geez, Lo Dillon, who's the WNBA?
You're
Caitlin
close.
Clark.
Caitlin Clark.
I was thinking about eyebrow lady on CNN.
Yeah, I know.
So anyway, Caitlin Clark is catching all sorts of grief again. You know, they had a big anniversary poster made up, Dillon, and she's by far their most popular player, right? I mean, she literally put the WNBA back on the map.
No doubt about that.
And they didn't bother to put her on the poster.
They hate her. They hate her.
You know why?
She's a whitey.
She's white. Yeah, what's the official the honky? She is a honky woman.
Saltine American.
Thank you. No, she's white and she's straight.
Yeah, that's the other one too.
Yeah.
The WNBA is not straight.
She's not Lebanese.
No.
Mm-mm. She is not. So I think we've got some audio. Do we have some audio? Let's play this.
If I were Caitlin Clark, I would seriously consider going to play overseas somewhere and get the royal treatment and get real money.
From the Saudis?
From somewhere. I mean, there's international.
She can't go to the Saudis.
Well, she can't go to the Russians either, as we saw that, you know, Brittany Griner got stuck there.
She did. Well, yeah, in jail.
Right. So
can't take that money from PIF.
But a lot of the women actually do play, you know, in European leagues because they supplement their income. But now supposedly their income is going up here. And I know that Caitlin makes a ton of money off the court in terms of endorsements, and rightfully so. But I think that there's a petty jealousy, and she's a straight white basketball player. And she is not being treated with any sort of respect whatsoever.
So what is it? Is the WNBA? This is how little I care about the WNBA. Are they playing now? Is this their season?
I am not the guy to ask for that.
So anyway, there's something going around viral. I don't know if this is a recent thing or if this, you know, happened, I mean, like a year ago. But anyway, the WNBA now facing mass calls to sanction and fine the Phoenix Mercury after the team made a post mocking what they said were racially motivated attacks against Caitlin Clark at the hands of one of their black ball players. I mean, this is really shocking stuff here, but they just hate this woman. They hate her because she's a white woman and she's straight. And Dylan, I mean, my concern for her is that they're literally trying to take her out of the game.
Yeah. I mean, so the video on this particular incident is not great. I mean, she goes for a ball and she falls down, and then the player on the other team
punched her in the throat.
And then she held her fist down on her throat as well. It's like not even disputable.
I mean, I've never seen anything like this. And so then they post this racial. I mean, quite frankly, they ought to shut down the whole team. That's what they ought to do.
Nobody gets treated like Caitlin Clark does. It's actually crazy. Like that, so many people get away with it. All these players are getting away with it, not even off the court.
Yeah, you know why? It's open season on white people. That's, you don't know why people of our own hue have a problem talking about this. But it's not victimhood. It's just a matter of, hey, this woman is being attacked, and she's being attacked because of the color of her skin and the fact that she's heterosexual. And I don't know why that's so hard for people to understand. But I'm with Boomer Esiason. I mean, it may be safer for her to go overseas, or at least she'll be treated like a rock star. And let's get real here. The WNBA is kind of like the ghetto of professional sports. They can't even pay their own bills. I don't know. They could once Caitlin Clark came onto the scene, because she was packing out arenas for these folks.
Oh, yeah.
Do they still need a handout from the NBA?
I think that's still what's happening.
So they're on welfare. So the, yeah, the entire league is on welfare. So who are these people to be complaining? It just seems to me that if you've got a player out there and they're attracting young people and enthusiasm, putting butts in the seats, that's something that you would want to celebrate and something that, quite frankly, you would want to protect. But when you've got black players going out of their way to try to, you know, take out her knee, put her on the ground, punch her in the throat, let me just say this. If this had been let's just say all the races were reversed and it was a majority white league and you had somebody doing that to a black player, all hell would be breaking loose right now. There would be a major American city burning to the ground. We'll say Minneapolis. Everybody burns down Minneapolis. Minneapolis, they'd burn it to the ground. But because Caitlin Clark is a white woman and she's straight, they say it's okay. It's open season on the white chicks in the WNBA. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Live live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Any of you guys ever go to summer camp as a kid? Like your mom, you know, your mom and dad, they packed you up. You've got your little pup tent and your sleeping bag and your little transistor radio if you're of a certain age. And off you went for a week or two to try and survive in the wilderness and just pray to Almighty God that a big bear wasn't going to come down and eat you. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the second hour of the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy to have you with us today. Did you ever do like, you know, I mean, I'm from the Baptist faith tradition, so outside of Cub Scout camp, and I don't mean to disparage Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts, but it just seemed to me all we were glorified garbage picker-uppers. It was like every weekend we were picking up trash on the side of the road.
It's a need. That needed to be met.
Yeah, and it was something that I needed not to do as a little Cub Scout, but or a Weeble. What do they call it? Weebelows?
Sure.
No, Weebles, Wobble, Weebelows.
Anyway. We had like a Cub Scout light with our Baptist church. It was like manhood retreat is what we called it.
I'm sorry, a what?
Yeah, it was like manhood. I forgot what it was called. I was like, you know, maybe a freshman in high school, and we learned how to like tie knots, make boats. And we use those boats that we made to go across a small pond.
So when you graduate from manhood camp, mm-hmm. like you go there as a boy, and when you come home, what are they to give you, like a razor and some like shaving cream?
It was actually way better. It was a sword.
Really?
I got a sword.
A sword?
Yeah, I don't know.
What kind of a Baptist camp is this?
South Haven, Mississippi.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I still have that sword. It's not very sharp.
Is it? Okay. But it was at one point. Have you used it?
I mean, yeah, of course. I've like cosplayed as a knight in my front yard, but that's as far as I got.
Of course. I want to hear from Ian, you know, who's our intern, because, I mean, he is of the age that you would go and do these kinds of things. And there's a whole point to this because when I was a kid, we would go to church camp. And it was always at a place called Ridgecrest. I don't know if any of our listeners have ever heard of Ridgecrest, North Carolina. But if you're in Asheville and you're driving, this is right past a town called the Bat Cave. It's like where Batman and Robin live. I never knew they were Southerners. But right beyond the Bat Cave, if you turn right, you have the Billy Graham Evangelistic Center, which is like a state-of-the-art resort for Christians. And then you had Ridgecrest, which is where generations of Baptists went to summer. I mean, we as kids, our youth group would always go to Ridgecrest, and we would camp, and we would be in the. We had the cabins. The food was just terrible, except for the Nibble Nook, which is where a lot of young Baptist relationships were birthed. So they were nibbling more than nooks at the Nibble Nook, as they say. So anyway, so Ian, I know you're of the Presbyterian persuasion. What do you guys do for summer camp experiences?
We do have a Presbyterian camp, right? It's like every kid in the ARP all goes off into like middle of nowhere, Tennessee for a week. And we have like 200 kids there. It's amazing.
Wow. So what do you do in the middle of nowhere?
They have all sorts of different activities. But on the last day, there's like this huge event between all the different teams, and you have to like boat to the center of the lake on this little island thing, and then you have to have like a relay race with a banana. There's like a lot of camp culture.
A banana?
Yes.
This is there some sort of a spiritual significance to the fruit that is used?
Not really. I think it's just for the love of the game.
Of course. And who doesn't love a good banana?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying. So are you still, like, do you still go to this camp or do you like have to age? Do you age out?
I think you age out at 18, but most of the kids who aged out of it become like camp counselors.
Oh, of course.
So they still go, but they have to do work now.
Do you guys, I'm very intrigued by this. So do you guys like have like access to Wi-Fi and electricity, or is it like old school roughing it?
No, it's old school. No AC, no phones, no nothing.
Wait, what?
Yeah. I think some of the speakers get AC in their like little houses. But other than that, all the kids are just in wood boxes out in the middle of the woods.
Wood boxes?
Yeah.
Sounds like a concentration camp, a prison camp.
But a fun one.
Well, at least you get fresh fruit.
Yeah.
A banana. Good Lord, man. All right. Well, Ian, I'm glad. So you've gone. So you've been a participant. Did you have a good time? Is it what? Did you build these like lifetime memories?
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. Yeah. No regrets.
So we did something once where we were in the Sierra Nevada. We took like a big mission trip, and we were in a tent, and they had it was so bad, Ian. They have like bears and cougars and things that come down out of the mountains, and you have to keep your food in these like bins, right? So because the bears will come and steal your food, and so of course, being Baptist, we're very cheap with our food. And so we had bologna sandwiches and is it Flamin' Hot Cheetos or Doritos? Anyway, both of them leave a bit of a lingering odor, if you know what I mean. Ian, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
At camp, it was Takis. That was the snack that everyone wanted.
A what?
Takis. It's like Cheetos, hot Cheetos, but like, I think Mexican seasoning.
So they were illegal. Dylan, are you okay? Poor Dylan is just dying over here. So look, so Ian, the concern was that a couple of my buddies that were there in the youth group, they love bologna sandwiches, and they just like ate an entire bag of Doritos. And every time they belched at night, I was afraid that we were going to have like a grizzly bear come and just like chow down on us. Because you could smell Doritos for about 50 yards in either direction.
It must have been terrible stuck in that cabin or tent.
It was not pleasant.
Did you have an encounter with a bear or a cougar?
No, thankfully. However, when I was at Ridgecrest, and this goes back to my Ridgecrest story, when you check in at Ridgecrest, they give you a list, but they do have a lot of bears there. And so they have a list of like 7 or 8 things that you need to do if you encounter a bear. For me, there's only one: run faster than the person next to you. That would be my rule. So I would just have to run faster than Dylan. So anyway, I'm going down the list and of things that you're not supposed to do if you encounter a bear. And number 4 on the list at our Ridgecrest Baptist camp was don't bend over. And I immediately look at the clerk, and I'm like, what kind of bears do you guys have up here? This is a Baptist campground, for crying out loud. Bunch of pervert bears. They didn't see the humor in that. I thought it was pretty darn funny. So anyway, that was my bear story. Well, Ian, I only asked this because in New York State, this is the headline: meet the rich kids of summer who fly private planes to $20,000 sleepaway camps for elite friendships and life-building skills. I'm just wondering how many parents listening to us would fork over $20,000 to send their kids out into the middle of the wilderness. That's what I want to know. So according to the Dylan, I'm just curious here. Do you think your parents would spend $20,000 to send you out into the middle of the woods?
Probably. Anything to get rid of me, they probably would spend, yeah.
Well, so this is all up in the Adirondacks, and this is like the big thing now. You know, you've got we were talking about this with the black families, where it's prom is a big thing, right? Where they'll drop, you know, $50,000 on a prom, and now you've got all these rich white folks, and they're sending their kids to, oh, here we go, Camp Vega, a girls-only summer oasis in Fayette, Maine. $40,000. That's how much it cost. $40,000. Unbelievable. So I'm just curious, parents, do you send your kids off to camp? I got to tell you, I feel kind of gypped. I really want I wanted a better camp experience in Ridgecrest.
Ours was way better, Todd. I mean, you got survival skills. I mean, you literally know what to do in case you encounter a bear. What do they get? Probably pampered, you know, it's like glamping probably.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think it's more for the parents because they say the parents get to build a Rolodex, you know, with the other wealthy parents. So they're like networking.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Oh, here they go. They do water skiing and kayaking, and they make s'mores. No doubt gold leaf. They sprinkle some gold leaf on the s'mores.
That's the 40,000.
No, yeah. No doubt about it. Oh, my Lord. You see, this is the problem with America, ladies and gentlemen. Just put your kids, you know what, just pitch a tent in the backyard and, you know, let the kids do it for free. You can save 40 grand. That's what I say. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio. This is Steve Harvey. And I kind of like, isn't he like the Family Feud guy? I kind of like Steve Harvey. I don't know where he's coming from with this, but he says that white people, we don't have any culture. I think we should take great offense of this, I think. Let's take a listen to Cut 22.
White kids don't determine what's cool in this world. People of color determine what's cool. We decide how you wear your hair. We tell you how to dress. We tell you what music is hot. We tell you, ain't no black kids got no white kids on their wall on the poster. White kids got black kids on the wall on the poster. The cool factor is determined by people of color. That's the cool factor in every culture. Period. Now, I don't have to bag down off what I'm saying. I have proof.
I agree.
Bruh. Bruh. Taylor Swift cold now. Taylor Swift, one of the biggest pop stars in the world today. But them black girls, they got Beyonce on the wall. It's some cold European basketball players. But they got Kobe on the wall. They got Jordan on the wall. They got Magic on the wall. I'm sorry. Your hair's that way because of your color. Yeah. We said bald was cool. Black dudes said bald heads was cool. And guess what got cool? Bald head. We said that. Because we can't do comb overs. That hair fall out. We can't brush this over here, hide it. No. Zip this bad boy off. We made this cool. Black Michael Jordan. We made being bald cool. We said put earring in your ear. All the dances, everything. So if you want to change the culture in the world, you change them kids right there mindset, and you change the world. Everybody else going to follow, man. Boy, I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. Poof.
God. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think you're... No.
I don't think so. That guy's white. Look, here's the deal. I think we're pretty cool. Is this true, though? I don't know. I look at the, I look at all these black women, Dylan, with the long flowing red hair and blonde hair. And, you know, they're culturally appropriating the hair of white people. So I'm wondering if Steve Harvey would have an issue with that, because he's saying that ultimately the only cool stuff is coming out of black people.
I mean, he mentioned basketball and Taylor Swift. I don't know if that's our standard for cool right now.
Do we? Yeah. By the way, some of his cultural references were a little dated there.
A little bit.
Right? Just a smidge. The comb over. The
head.
And all the athletes.
Yeah.
They were like really old school.
True.
But he's talking about fashion, and I guess that he says that blacks are setting the standard when it comes to fashion, and I guess maybe he has a point, you know, unless all of those ladies love looking at the guys with the baggy jeans around their knees and they're showing their ass crack. We'll be right back. All right, wanted to give you an update since we're not big WNBA fans here, but this did in fact happen very recently. It happened Wednesday night. Caitlin Clark has she was injured in this attack, So she went down. She was knocked to the court. And you had a black player drive her leg into Caitlin Clark's groin and then punched her, had a closed fist and punched her in the throat. And the referee did not call a foul on the play at all. I mean, this was just absolutely egregious. So we've got some audio here. Is this the head coach of the Fever, I believe? Let's take a listen.
Absolutely. Do you have any current update on Caitlin's back or how she's doing right now?
No current update.
There was a clip of a play where she got pushed in the neck during the game. Have you seen that? Did that have any impact on her health in this one?
I just saw it. I'm not sure if it had any impact on the health or her health or not. But it was egregious. The fact that it was a no call. I heard it about it at halftime. I brought it to the attention of the officials at halftime. Yet we still had 11 fouls in the fourth quarter to their two. They still shot 24 free throws in the second half. I just, number one, you got to call it. It's absolutely egregious and utterly disrespectful. And then number two, you're coming in here aware of what happened two nights ago, and that shit still happens?
Okay. Yeah, we got to make sure we, there we go. Awesome. Yes, clearly the coach is fired up there. No doubt about it. No foul call to the play. Look, here's the deal, and I appreciate the coach here, but the coach needs to come out and start saying exactly what's going on here, that this was a hate crime. What happened? This has nothing to do with basketball. This has everything to do with an untold number of black female lesbians and others who despise the fact that Caitlin Clark is a rock star in the WNBA. I mean, that's really all there is to it. So at some point, somebody needs to have the courage to come out and just say what this is really all about. And I appreciate Boomer Esiason saying what he said, because this is true. The reason why Caitlin Clark was was mauled and manhandled is because she's a straight white woman. That's it. And we do need to start calling it out. I just have to tell you, if you had a daughter, would you let her play in the WNBA, men? I mean, it's open season on white people, and I don't know why they just don't come out and just say, you know what, guys? Yeah, this is really a league for black lesbians, and you guys need to go start something else. But the WNBA, it's just going to be an exclusive sporting event for black lesbian chicks. And all the rest of you can go play somewhere else. Maybe that would resolve it. Because I'm thinking here, and just think about this, if you're Caitlin Clark, can you imagine? And by the way, she's injured. She got hurt. She's out for the game, for the next game. I mean, if you're Caitlin Clark, you have to be wondering every single day, am I going to come off this court alive? Are they going to try to kill me? I mean, it's a great, unfortunately, it's a great question, but it's a question you got to ask. It's a really disgusting question. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. We're so happy to have you with us today. By the way, this segment of the program is brought to you by our friends at Newsmax TV. And Newsmax wants to make sure that you are getting all of the Social Security benefits that you deserve. As a matter of fact, they're saying that about 70% of you guys are not getting the full benefits. And they have five key strategies to increase your Social Security benefits by as much as $188,000 over a lifetime. It is pretty phenomenal. Social Security expert Michael Allen says there are five key strategies, and, well, Newsmax wants to give you those strategies free of charge. It doesn't matter if you're already getting benefits or you soon will. You need this Social Security report, and you can get it free by simply calling 800-999-9690. That's 1-800-999-9690. Text and data rates may apply. Well, gosh, it was a couple of months ago that we told you the story of Jacob York, a baseball player at Olivet Nazarene University, TPUSA president, and he came under fire. He received death threats in the aftermath of Charlie Kirk's assassination. As a matter of fact, I wrote about Jacob's experience in my new book coming out, The Golden Age. Dylan, you know, we haven't held up a copy of the book. We need to do that. You've got to keep reminding.
You have it.
Yeah. We got to do the branding.
Yes, you do.
The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. It'll be in bookstores around the nation in August the 11th. But you can pre-order a copy right now. And I just got my author copies in yesterday, and we're really loving the book. It's absolutely a beautiful book in President Trump's favorite color, which is gold. So anyway, Jacob is, you can read his story in my new book. And Jacob joins us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. He is not taking off the summer. He is a busy man. Jacob, hope you're doing well.
I'm doing great, Todd. Thanks for having me on the show again. Hope you're doing well as well.
Jacob, I am. And before we get into, you know, what you guys have been up to, of course, you're like an incredible baseball player, college baseball player. And I know you've been following all of these crazy stories about Major League Baseball. There was another story yesterday, the Detroit Tigers, and we have this up on our website, toddstearns.com. A lady was wearing a shirt that said Jesus over pride, and she was told to leave the ballpark because her shirt offended people. And then, of course, you've got the pitchers with the San Francisco Giants. I mean, really, it's just crazy out there at the ballpark. Why can't it just be about baseball?
Yeah, I think that's true in all of sports these days, that our sports are awfully more political than it would seem, where people can't really just focus on the game anymore. You're even seeing that up here in the Chicago area, where the Bears are now leaving Chicago and heading to Hammond, Indiana. So, yeah, sports are political now, too.
It's so sad. And because, again, people used – I mean, back in the old days, people would go to a movie. They would go to a baseball game or a football game to escape all the chaos of the world. And now somehow all the chaos has ended up in the ballpark.
Yeah, and I think really what happens is because everything is so publicized and the media is just a huge hit right now and everything's on social media and it's one click away, that everybody's business is out there. And so if you have an opinion, the whole world knows it. And that's definitely true for the baseball players that were under fire this week.
All right, let's talk about what you guys are up to because you're pretty busy this summer. You're not sitting in the Lazy Boy drinking a Dr. Pepper. You are out there handing out copies of the U.S. Constitution and Old Glory. Tell us about what you guys are doing.
Yeah, so last week, me and my good buddy Jaden went out to Piatone, where we were invited to table on behalf of Turning Point at a car show, and we handed out over 50 American flags, over 30 U.S. constitutions, had great civic discussion about religion, politics, ethics, worldview, you name it.
What were some of the conversations you had? I'm just curious, what's on the minds of folks out there in the heartland?
Yeah, it was great. I think that a lot of people came up and they just wanted to support. They're like, how can we get involved? Can we donate? What do we need to do for our part? Which honestly, my reaction was just have conversations with especially the kids you have or family, friends, just have conversation. But there definitely were a few people who walked up who disagreed with the things we stand for, who didn't like Charlie Kirk as a person or his organization. I think we had one debate that went about 30 minutes long about the pro-life versus pro-choice argument. But yeah, for the most part, things were supportive and cordial.
You know, when it's hard to believe, you know, September, you know, we were having those conversations about Charlie, and I'm wondering how things are going with TPUSA. A lot of folks were wondering if the movement was going to be able to survive the assassination. What say you?
It's an interesting question because you have a guy like Charlie Kirk, who was the most influential person probably in my lifetime. And I think what made him so influential is he gave people like me the courage to go and sit and table. But I think he also gave courage to the leftists who wanted to debate him as well. I don't think I would have the experience I am with having these conversations with people if Charlie Kirk didn't exist. The people, even on the other side of the aisle, now have that same courage. And I think Turning Point as an organization, it can stand behind one person. However, as an organization, it is only going to be successful if the students and the people step up and they do their part too. Charlie Kirk was super successful, a hardworking man, great public speaker, but he had lines and lines of defense behind him also willing to take up the battle themselves.
All right. So you're out there, you're handing out the American flags, you're handing out the constitutions. I understand you guys are actually heading for a big pro-life event this weekend. What's going on?
Yeah, there is a March for Life in Rockford where we are also invited out to come table and whatnot. And yeah, there will be people walking the streets standing up for all life and how all life matters, even unborn life. And it should be really good. I think there will be a very popular event. I'm hoping to pass out quite a few U.S. constitutions just like this again. Hopefully people understand their American heritage better. And also, I'll be doing some man-on-the-street interviews with some people, whether those people agree with what we're doing there or not. I think it's important to engage in all discussions and put yourself out there and be willing to disagree with people, because that's what makes our country great, is that we have the freedom to not only say what we want to say, but also to listen to what we don't want to hear.
Yeah, you got to keep the conversation going. Jacob York joining us from Olivet Nazarene University. He's the TPUSA president there. Jacob, no doubt the midterms are fast approaching. I'm wondering if you guys are having any conversations regarding politics when you're out there handing out those flags and the constitutions.
For sure. And actually part of there is a little group through Turning Point right now called the Campus Coordinator Program, which while we're out tabling, one of our main jobs is just to get people to check their voter ID status and make sure that they're able to vote in the midterms. We don't necessarily advocate for one candidate over the other, but we believe it is a civic duty to go out there and vote. I think a lot of people vote in the presidential election, and then you see the huge drop off in numbers when it comes to the midterms. And we want people to participate in the right that they're given in this country.
No, I think it's an important thing. And again, we've got to engage the political process. You know, one of the challenges, I think, is that far too many Christians have decided to disengage from the culture. They've been told from their pulpits that Christians should not be involved in politics, that we should just stay inside our church houses and not engage folks out in the community. And I just have to tell you, I just completely disagree with that philosophy. I think the problem with the country is that the church is not engaged in the public marketplace. What say you?
I mean, if you just look at the Bible, and a lot of these Christians are saying this, if you just look at the Bible, plenty of people in the Bible were political figures. I mean, David was maybe the most influential Old Testament character in the Bible, and he was very political. You could even go to Moses, so to speak. He was also very political in dealings with the country and the lands. So I think that obviously you need good Christian people to step up in this country, to use their voice, and just step up in politics in general. I mean, we are built on Judeo-Christian heritage in this country, and that just really needs to be restored.
All right, good stuff. Jacob, we're going to leave it there. Good luck to you this weekend, and we're just so proud of you and the great work you and your pals are doing, handing out American flags and U.S. constitutions. I can't think of a better way to spend summertime than that. Jacob, good to see you.
I agree. Thank you. God bless you.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Jacob York from Olivet Nazarene University. It was so bad on his campus, and just let me say this about the campus. The university did everything right here, so that they handled this exactly the way you would expect and you would want a university to handle the situation. But it was so bad, the threats on his life, that he had to spend the remainder of his semester at home because they were that concerned with the level of threats and violence directed at this young man. And Jacob plays on the university's baseball team, just an all-around great athlete, great person, and a sharp Christian as well. But we had Jacob on the program, and we told his story in the book as one of those great American patriots. I mean, it would have been easy for Jacob to take a look at all those death threats and say, you know what, I don't want anything to do with this. I am done. I'm going to play baseball. I'm going to get my degree, and I'm going to go on and live my life. But instead, he decided to double down and take a stand, and he did not back down. And one of the things that really bothers me, especially in the social media world, I get this all the time from grown adults who will say, oh, you know, I don't want to say anything. It might hurt my job. I don't want to use my real name, or they call up and they'll use an anonymous name. They're like, oh, you know, I want you to know we're standing with you. No, you're not. You're hiding in the shadows. That's what you're doing. But if a young man like Jacob York can get out there, a guy who got death threats so bad that he had to go home for the rest of the semester for his own protection, they wouldn't shut that guy up. So why can't you get out there, and why can't you take a stand? Never have understood that. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I was going through the book, and by the way, there are a couple of nice photographs, Dylan, of me and President Trump that they put in the book. Those are rather snazzy. I may have to get the president to autograph that one.
You do need an autograph.
Oh, yeah. I get it. Yes. So we're working to be able to, we're working right now with this team. Hopefully we'll be able to hop up to Washington and present him a copy in the Oval Office. But I want to read through just some of the chapters here, because it's just, well, here's, this was the opening quote of the book is actually from President Trump, Inauguration Day, 2025. We will stand bravely. We will live proudly. We will dream boldly, and nothing will stand in our way, because we are Americans. The future is ours, and our golden age has just begun. And that really was, as I was listening to that speech, that was the idea. That's when it was birthed for this book called The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. Chapter one, How Trump Saved Common Sense. We actually published the president's inaugural address. How Trump saved our schools, how Trump saved my hometown of Memphis, Tennessee. That is a fun story, by the way. I'm just kind of scrolling through here. How Trump saved the military, how Trump saved Christmas, how Trump saved our culture. And then at the very end, how Americans can save Trump's agenda. So we all have a job to do after President Trump calls it a day and goes back to Mar-a-Lago. So I'm really excited for you to read the book. And as we get a little bit closer to launch day, well, I'll probably read a chapter on the radio for you. I think you're really going to enjoy that. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up Sunday, hope to see you in Texarkana, Texas. I'll be speaking at the First Baptist Church in Texarkana. That's going to be a great, great time and a great conversation as well. All right, Obama talking about Donald J. Trump, our great president. Here is cut 24, please.
Ass out or sometimes.
I mean, the thing about it is, look, you got to ask him what it is that
the obsession.
The obsession.
I know what it is.
I obviously, you know, have a room in his head.
Rent free. You do everything with grace.
A suite. In his head. But the thing about it is that was always clear to me. Look, first of all, when I was president, the last thing I had time to do was worry about what
somebody said.
Somebody said, or what my predecessor did.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. I've got work to do.
You locked in.
It's hard to describe how, if you're doing the job right,
mm-hmm.
every day you've got 5-10 things that are real hard, and you have to be constantly focused. The idea that I'd be worrying about
came before
somebody who came before and me trying to measure, you know, like what's he done today? Look, constantly worrying about that is a strange thing to me. It shows me somebody who's not focused on the American people and the job they're supposed to do.
All right, that was Barack Obama. You know, it's interesting that guy. Everybody thought, oh, he's just a brilliant orator. He's such a well-spoken man. Yeah, when somebody's writing speeches for him, but when he has to just talk extemporaneously, like you just heard, it's like, dude, just spit it out. say what needs to be said. Barack Hussein Obama, and he says he lives rent-free in Trump's head, and I have no doubt about that. I don't think Obama's ever paid a bill in his life. I would expect nothing else from this guy. Oh, by the way, have you seen the video? Dylan, have you seen the video Carnival Cruise?
I have not.
There was like a huge riot on Carnival Cruise, and it's the it was an all-black mob, and they're fighting and beating each other up and throwing shoes. And so Carnival Cruise has banned 16 people for the rest of their lives. They're not allowed to get on the cruise ships, and we don't know what set everybody off, but this is not the first time, and there's a report out there that Carnival Cruise is now, among other cruise lines, they're dealing with, I mean, it's basically Walmart on the seas.
Yeah. Can we stop, like, having fights in the middle of the ocean? Like, you can't leave.
Why? This is what I don't understand. You're on a vacation. You're on a cruise. Enjoy the cruise. Why are you going around beating people up? And by the way, I mean, it's just complete takeovers of ships. And you know who I feel bad for? The elderly couple from Bartlesville, Oklahoma, who have saved up their pennies their entire life to take the big Caribbean cruise. And they show up down in Miami, and all of a sudden it looks just like Chuck E. Cheese.
Or the people that retire and they live on the cruise ships. You've seen those people.
I couldn't do that.
I would never do that. You would have to give me one of those patches. It keeps me from being seasick. Like all of them, forever patches.
No, there are many questions I have about this Carnival Cruise story, but all I can tell you is no way I would ever go on a cruise now. I mean, it's been ruined. Unless you're going to have to go to one of the high-dollar cruises where they just don't tolerate that kind of stuff. But the fact of the matter is Carnival Cruise has become basically like Spirit Airlines on the water. What do they call it? Hold on. Someone called it Section 8 of the Seas. Well, they're not wrong. All right. Jeez, Lou. Behave yourself, America. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us. This is hour three of the big show. Sweet mercy. It has been one of those weeks, and Dylan, I tell you, with the allergy season around here, so I've been trying not to cough on air too terribly much, so my apologies if you guys, if I blow out your eardrums. Try not to make that happen.
We're survived by this glass panel, Todd, so I don't think,
I'm not sure that'll help you.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
It's going to come around.
I'm just saying. I want to play some audio here. We got a lot of political stuff to talk about. And we're going to be, by the way, John Fleming from he's the Louisiana treasurer in the runoff for the Senate to replace Bo Cassidy. He's coming up in just a little while. And so we're going to be talking to him. But I've been holding on to this since Monday, and I've got to play this audio for you. So, because I want to know what you would do, ladies and gentlemen, if this was your child. So there is a father, and I'm just going to let, he's got a 5-year-old son, all right? And so we're going to play this is cut 18. We're going to play this audio, and then I want to hear your take on this story.
My 5-year-old is suspended from school for fighting. And evidently, I didn't react to the situation the way that the school administration thought I was going to. I get a phone call, I'm at work. The principal says, hey, your son got in a fight at school today. All right. Is he okay? He's fine. We're going to need you to come in and talk about it. You know, you want me to come in before school tomorrow or after school today or how you want to handle this? He said, well, no, you got to come right now because your son's not going to be able to stay in school today.
I said, well, you just told me he was fine. Oh, no. He is fine, sir, but he's going to have to be removed from school today. So not fully understanding what the problem is, I leave work and I go to the school to have our little sit-down powwow. And you got the principal, you got the assistant principal, you got a counselor, you got a school nurse, and you got my son, and you got this other kid. Okay? And I look at my son, I say, you all right, son? He said, yes, sir. I said, all right. The principal, you know, kind of steps in between and starts talking. I said, no, sir, hold on. I said, son, what happened here today? And my son proceeds to tell me the story. He said, this kid right here was picking on me at recess. And he wouldn't stop. And I said, son, did you ask him to stop picking on you? He said, yes, sir. I said, how many times did you ask him to stop picking on you? He said, one time, sir. Did he hear you ask? He said, yes, sir, he did. I turned to the principal and I says, hey, so what's the problem?
What's the problem?
And the principal goes on to tell me, look, we cannot promote this kind of behavior in the schools. And I said, I agree completely. Bullies should be reprimanded for their actions. I have absolutely no discord with that. I agree 100%. Kind of puzzled, the principal looks at me. He says, no. Well, yeah, you can't have bullying, but we can't have fighting in school. The kid was bullying my son. My son asked the child to stop. The child did not, and he felt the repercussions of his actions. I don't see the problem here. He said, we have a zero tolerance for fighting. I said, this wasn't a fight. Clearly, my son beat the crap out of this kid, this bully. He said, your son's going to be suspended for 3 days. I said, is that so? He said, yes, sir. We can't have fighting in the school, no matter what. He should have told a teacher. Well, what was the kid doing to bully him? He said, well, we don't exactly know. And I said, so how do you know that he was able to tell a teacher? What if the kid was in his way? What if the kid was pushing him? What if the kid had hands on my son? I said, if you don't know the situation, how are you going to reprimand my son when you don't know what happened? Zero tolerance policy, sir. He's got a 3-day suspension. I said, that's fine. Not a problem at all. I turned to my son. I looked at the kid that he beat up. And the kid that he beat up, I said, son, I'll tell you one thing. You're going to think twice before you bully my son again. I turned to my son. I gave him knuckles right there in the principal's office in front of everybody. I said, son, I'm proud of you. I said, you aren't suspended from school for 3 days. I said, you got a 3-day vacation. It's hunting season. Let's get out of here.
I love this story, but it also enrages me. So a couple of things. So basically, the guy's 5-year-old son. Here's what I love about this guy, Dylan. You know he's a good dad. First of all, he recorded this in a pickup truck.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. As if that was, if there was any question.
He's a hunting man.
And he sounds like a little Louisiana accent.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of that South Louisiana accent. But clearly this guy, even at 5 years old, you know, told his son, here's how you handle the bullies. And I mean, this dad is like the quintessential American dad, you know, raising up the child in the way he should go. But the school, this is insane. They have the zero tolerance policy, so the bully does not get in trouble. It's the kid who is and really not a victim. It's the bully's target that gets in trouble. And it seems to me that what this 5-year-old did to that boy, because apparently beat the living snot out of the kid. And again, what is it? One time, two times? All right, three times, it's on like Donkey Kong. And, you know, the kid probably, I don't know, wrestles alligators on the weekend. They build them different in Louisiana. I'm just telling you. But I love the story and the way that dad approached it. But here's how you know that, first of all, this kid clearly was raised right. Everything was yes, sir, yes, sir, no, sir, no, sir. You know that, by the way, that is learned behavior. You train a child like that. But I'm just curious, mom and dad, what would you have done in a situation like that? He said he gave him the knuckles. Is that like the fist bump? I was like, wait, did he hit somebody? Did the dad hit somebody? I'm going to give you some knuckles. He gave his son a fist bump.
Yeah, it was a fist bump.
I love that.
It's dad of the year right here, in my opinion.
Right? And yeah. This 3-day vacation. You know that had to have just enraged the principal. And I guarantee you this principal is some sort of a, I don't know, mealy mouth a little. Well, we have rules to follow. Mm-hmm. You know the biggest problem with schools? I'm going to tell you, Dylan, I'm going to tell you the biggest problem with schools. And this, I'm painting with a broad freaking brush here. But it's true. Most of the people in charge of our schools right now were the kids that were like the mealy mouth. You know, they never could get dates. They weren't good at sports. Many of them were in theater. And they can't deal with real life. And so they're taking out all of their failed adventures on the children of America. I think that's what the problem here is.
I think that's a fair observation.
If you have a school, I'm just going to say, just think about this. Take a look at, and there are studies that have been done. No, I don't think there are, but there ought to be studies done. Take a school where the principal was the lead actor in the High School Musical, and then take a school where the principal was the quarterback of the high school football team. I guarantee you the football coach, his team, his school is going to be run like an athletic team. There are going to be rules and regulations. Everything's going to be based on reality and not feelings. You know, they're not going to have like little drum circles and all. No, they're not doing that kind of stuff. But I like this. I like this story because it shows you that there's a young man, and this dad probably still in his 20s, but he's raising up a young man at 5 years old. And I just wish I could have been a fly on the wall to see the bully, get what was coming. And you know what? I guarantee you that dad's right, though, because he pointed his finger at the little bully and said, "Bet you're not gonna touch my son again." "No, sir." And he had to say "no, sir," because he had no teeth. You know, probably teeth got knocked out. Probably a little bloody nose there. But I guarantee that kid won't do anything. By the way, why didn't they call the parents to the bully? On the other side of it, though, what does it say about this school that you've got this, you know, you've got these principals and they're punishing the kids who did the right thing? You know, I guarantee you that punch to the nose, the 5-year-old's punch to the nose did more to stop bullying in that school than all of the rules and regulations and suspensions they've been handing out. Because I guarantee you that kid won't lay hands on anybody else. Anyway, I think the dad did the right thing here. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the phone lines. Memphis, Tennessee. Chris is listening to us on KWAM, KWAM. Hi, Chris. What's on your mind today?
I just wanted to say the father should have asked the principal what his no-tolerance policy was for bullying. And if he said nothing, then I would have said, well, I guess you've already gotten your punishment for today.
There you go. Chris, it's a great point. I just remember I grew up in the 70s and 80s, and so we always settled those things out on the playground, you know, during recess. And I'm not sure anything really escalated to the principal's office back in the day, but, you know, it was kind of rough and tumble at Hope P. Sullivan Elementary School. I don't know what it was like in your growing up years.
Well, in my growing up years, I saw a big guy picking on a little guy, and I was pretty athletic. I was on the football team, so I just said, "Hey, you know, you're a lot bigger than him. What are you doing picking on him?" And he started picking on me. I guess he was just mad about something else, and so he wanted me to go out and fight. So I went out there and let him swing at me, and I didn't really hit him. But you know, sometimes people are just mad about something that has nothing to do with the present day. So who knows?
Speeding,
but yeah, 55
miles.
I think the father did the best thing.
Yeah, Chris, be sure to do the speed limit there. I heard the little voice. What, 55 miles an hour?
Well, I'm on the biggest expressway, so if I went 55 miles an hour, someone would rear end me.
Chris, are you on I-240 by any chance?
I am.
So this is what bothers me about, because my car does the same thing to me. And the fact of the matter is, nobody's driving 55 miles an hour on I-240. They will run you over.
That's exactly right.
Even the grannies.
this one is the worst.
Oh, yes. All right.
My friend told me he saw my mother driving, and she was about 88, and she realized she needed to go the other way, so right in the middle of the street, just made a big U-turn. But hey,
that's great.
I guess that's the way it is.
That's the way it is. All right, Chris, thanks for calling in. You be safe out there, and watch for the popo. So they're running radar. 901-260-5926. By the way, I shouldn't have done that. I'm going to get another text message. Someone from the police department is like, really, really, Stearns? You're killing us here.
It's the most relatable thing I've ever heard. As a Memphian, that is so relatable.
As soon as he said 55, I'm like, that dude's on I-240.
It's exactly where it is.
Because you can't, seriously, nobody drives. And that's what I was asking the highway patrol that, and one of the state troopers was like, yeah, dude, we don't get it. I mean, and my question to them is, all right, do you really pull people over going 65? Because that's what you have to drive, and you're still not even keeping up with traffic at 65.
Yeah, I mean, and you talk to a police officer, most of them will be pretty lenient, like 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. So what you're saying? Yeah, I mean, 75 is the norm on I-240.
Yeah.
It's just the norm.
It is. It's so. This is why I'm excited about driving to Arkansas. You know, Texarkana, you got to drive up through Little Rock, and it's like 75 miles an hour, which means you can go 85. And I don't know if there's any other place there. There was some place in Kansas or Iowa where it's like, you know, you can drive however fast you want to drive. Nobody cares.
We need one of the the Autobahn, that highway in Germany. That's what we need.
We kind of have it already, but it's not official.
It's not official.
It's not official. All right. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I want to play some audio for you. Oh, yes. Here we go. This is Tucker Carlson doing an interview with Sky News, talking about the MAGA brand. Cut 31, please.
I wonder, Tucker, where this leaves the future of the MAGA movement.
I mean, the future of the MAGA. Well, that's over. There's no future of the MAGA movement. Obviously, we're done.
This war caused the end.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, what is the MAGA movement? Trump has defined it as whatever he wants. Well, it's not a movement. That's a tick. That's a preference. It's like, what do I feel like having for breakfast this morning? Well, today it's, you know, the pancake movement. It'll be Eggs Benedict movement tomorrow. Like, it's not a movement. You know, it's just like it's a desire.
But you believed in it.
Well, I never understood what it was. No, I never believed in MAGA. I believe in making America great again. I certainly believe in its literal definition. But its operational definition was never clear. What I believe in is putting your country first. If you're leading your country, of course, its concerns are at the top of your list of concerns, in the same way that your children's concerns are more important, your children's needs are more important to you as a parent than your neighbor's kids' needs and concerns. You're the parent. That's nature. Again, that's just natural. There's nothing crazy or fascistic about that. In fact, any other form of government is crazy and fascistic. Every other form of government is tyranny. That's the only legitimate form of government, where the leaders put, not to the exclusion of everyone else's concerns, like, you don't have to hate your neighbor's kids to love your own. You can love all kids. But if it comes down to it, you put your kids first because you're their parent. And that same worldview has to be the way the U.S. government operates in order to be legitimate. And that's what America First means. And so I will never stop believing that. I think every other American believes that, too. The phrase America First scares people because it's like Nazi or something. But like in real life, there's no other way to run a government. And I still believe that. And this war was the most obvious betrayal of that. We didn't go to war to protect our own interests. We went to war to serve Israel's interests. They've said that out loud. So this is not a conspiracy theory. That's contemptible. That's wrong.
So I'm just curious here to hear your thoughts on this. Do you still, does Tucker Carlson's opinion still matter to you in your, did it ever matter to you? I mean, for some people, you're just like, well, you know, the guy's an entertainer on TV. He's just saying stuff to get a rise out of people. And I don't know, maybe that's what he's doing now. Maybe this is, you know, all make-believe. Because at some point, you know, you have to, and I don't know if Tucker's actually sat down and explained his metamorphosis going from a rock-solid regular Republican conservative to where he is now, because he has changed his viewpoint on just about every single thing that he has done. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. I still go back to the interview he did a few years ago where he said that in the middle of the night he was physically attacked by demons. And a lot of people were making fun of him. Maybe they didn't believe him. I actually believe this. I believed what he said. And he said that he was literally cut up. His body was cut up by the demons. He was fighting them. So I don't know if there's something else going on there. But the issue here is he's got millions and millions of followers. I think 17 million followers. So he's got a huge audience. The question is, are they still influenced by what Tucker Carlson has to say? 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's get to the phones real quick here. Carrie in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM, wants to weigh in on those cops and that speed limit. Hey, Carrie, what you got for us?
Hey, I just wanted to say, if you are ever out on the highway and you see a cop coming from the other direction, don't ever hit the brake. Do not ever hit the brake. Just take your foot off the gas and set it in the floor. But if you hit that brake and they look up in their rearview mirror and see that brake light come on, they treat that as a confession that you're done something wrong.
Yeah, you've got to make sure you don't appear to be guilty on the roadway. Is that right, Carrie?
Yeah.
I love that. My favorite is when there's somebody going, you know, 20 miles over the speed limit, passing you, the cop's coming the other way, and the next thing you know, they're slamming on the brakes, and they're in your rearview mirror.
Well, one of my favorites was I actually, you know, got behind somebody who was staying on that inside lane one time. And all of a sudden, I looked up, there's a cop from behind, and he's after that person that stayed in, has been in that inside lane for like forever since I've been behind him, which is at least probably a good 10 or 15 minutes.
Carrie, I love it. This is great advice. I think you've just saved a lot of people from getting a ticket on the roadways. God bless you, Carrie. You're a great American patriot. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Well, there is a lot happening in our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Bill Cassidy, the senator from Louisiana, really making a jerk of himself in front of the president of the United States. And I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We're honored to have John Fleming with us, who is running to replace Bill Cassidy in the Senate. He's in a very, very hot runoff battle right now. John, good to have you with us today.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be with you today.
I wanted to get your reaction to what happened yesterday in the Senate luncheon. I've had a chance to talk to some individuals who were in that room, and they said it was just really inappropriate the way Senator Cassidy behaved towards the President of the United States.
Well, Todd, to be honest with you, I wasn't there, and I haven't seen anything in the media about it. I think that passions are running high on this issue of how long should the president have more or less absolute power in this. We all know that the president can initiate action because oftentimes there's not enough time to go through Congress and get consent. But we know that over time, there needs to be questions asked about should there be some limits. Of course, Congress in a significant conflict, really like this one, where there's a lot of expenditure of explosives, there has to be cost, new cost, and more appropriation. But it sounds like things got fixed because they did go back and vote again and apparently gave President Trump the ability to continue with what he's doing. And I support what he's doing because he's using military, economic, and political pressure to get the Iranians to the table and hopefully get rid of that enriched uranium in those bombs.
I think the big question in the minds of a lot of voters and really the way it's being framed nationally, whether it's fair or not, is, you know, who is going to be the Trump conservative? Who is going to be that America First conservative in the Senate runoff? How do you respond to that?
Well, I clearly have the most conservative voting record. Of course, my opponent, Julia Letlow, on conservative scales, over hundreds, really thousands, I should say, of votes in her 5 years in the House and my 8 years in the House. She scores in the 60s and 70 percentile when it comes to votes for conservative things. My rating is well into the 90s, 95, 96, 97 percent, depending on whether you're talking about border security or taxation or whatever. So clearly I'm more conservative by history. There's nobody has any doubt about that. But even more, Julia Letlow has made a big deal in her support of DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, which we know to be a Marxist socialist theory that basically awards jobs and admissions to colleges based on the color of your skin, perhaps, or your gender. Whereas most of us here in the United States, and certainly conservative Republicans, believe it should be your abilities, your proven capabilities, and what kind of standards that you have met for that job. So that, and also her support of the USAID foreign support from appropriations to send money overseas that will support abortions, gender reidentification surgery for children, and other woke type of activities. Clearly, she's in the left-wing liberal category. I, of course, am in the conservative, and really have the most conservative voting record, even among the delegation that's there today.
You know, one of the big, and I'm going to get to the carbon capture subsidies in just a moment, and the green energy scam, because you guys take a very different approach to that, and I think that's an interesting point. I'm going to get to that in a moment. But again, the other big issue here is the Save America Act, and yes, exactly, you know, exactly the role of senators like Senator Cassidy and others who are not necessarily advancing the president's agenda. If you are elected, are you going to do your gut level best to advance the president's agenda?
Absolutely, Todd. I'm committed to that. I've said that throughout this campaign. The Save America Act is absolutely necessary. This requires all 50 states to check your government ID when you vote, to be sure you have the opportunity to vote if you're a citizen, and on the other hand, that you can't vote more than once. So this is absolute necessity. How we get there is difficult because there are, as you say, even Republicans in the Senate who are not on board with Save America Act, and we've got to get them on board. And I'm certainly supporting anything necessary, whether it's a talking filibuster, which Senator Lee is talking about, and other actions, whatever we've got to do to get it, we need to do it, and we need to do it now, and I support the president in this.
We have Dr. John Fleming with us, Louisiana's treasurer, in a fierce runoff battle to be the next senator, really, from the great state of Louisiana. That's pretty much a given. Whoever the Republican is will be the next senator. Fox in New Orleans, sir, says, and these are very interesting numbers. I know Letlow led the primary by about 17 points. You've got your poll out there that puts you 5 points ahead of Letlow. But Fox is saying that this is an incredibly close race. So I'm wondering what happened between primary day and where we are now. Clearly, people are liking the message that you have out there.
Yes. You know, the dynamic in the first go around, the primary, was more about stopping Cassidy from being reelected. I heard it over and over and over, the refrain, anybody but Cassidy, anybody but Cassidy. And people have been telling me, just a guy yesterday said, I voted for Letlow because I knew that was the way to stop Cassidy. It really didn't matter to them. But now in the runoff, they're actually comparing us side by side, the two candidates, Letlow and Fleming. And they're looking at my record, my background, which is broad and deep, both in government and the private sector. And they're saying, we have one candidate here who's truly aligned with the MAGA, America First style of government with Trump and so forth, which is me, and a conservative voting record. And then we have Julia Letlow, who, again, is much more attached to the left wing. And so they're saying, well, look, in a conservative red state like Louisiana, we got to go with Fleming.
I want to circle back here to the issue regarding carbon capture subsidies. And this has been a big, big issue. The one Louisiana news publication said that you're using this to really set yourself apart from everybody else by railing against the carbon capture. What say you?
I'm not using it for anything. I think that this is a very controversial issue, and I climbed on board to oppose carbon capture and sequestration when nobody knew whether it would be favored or unfavored. I didn't do any polling. I didn't do any group analysis or anything like that. I just said, look, I've always been against subsidies for wind, subsidies for solar, and all that's being wiped away by President Trump. And then I hear about carbon capture and putting this toxic carbon dioxide in the ground in Louisiana, paid for by taxpayers. Nobody else is paying for it, but taxpayers in the 45Q tax credits. And I go, this is the craziest among all the crazy ideas. Of course, we're talking about the Green New Deal scams that President Trump talks about. So as soon as I heard about it, I immediately came out and opposed it, and opposed it ever since. As it turns out, most of Louisiana is on my side with this, because the only people benefiting from it are the wealthy and the powerful politicians, not the people of Louisiana.
All right. Well, Election Day is what, Saturday? And folks, the website, FlemingSenateCampaign.com. That's FlemingSenateCampaign.com. Be sure to check that out. Dr. Fleming, best of luck to you, sir.
Always a pleasure, Todd. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. So another contentious Republican primary battle. They're expecting low turnout. So it's whoever can get their people onto the polls will end up winning there. All right, let's go to the phones here, 901-260-5926. Say hello to John from Dawsonville, Georgia. Hi, John, what's on your mind?
Todd, your old friend, your old dietary advisor, John from Dawsonville.
Yes, sir. Good to have you with us. What's on your mind, John? We've got a lot of folks waiting to hop on.
Okay, you was talking about speed limits. I just wanted to warn you that if you're in Texas, there's a lot of speed limits are pretty high there, like a little two-lane blacktop that would be 55 most places there. They're 70. But the warning is, if you go 72, the state troopers will pull you over. And they won't just pull you over. They'll give you a ticket. So the speed limits are higher, but you better stay within them because they don't give you any leeway.
Is that right? I had no idea. It's interesting. Speaking of Texas, the highest speed limit in the United States is actually found on a specific 40-mile stretch of a state highway in Texas. It's Highway 130, 85 miles an hour. That's the speed limit. There are some states, I think most of them are out west, Idaho, Nevada, Wyoming, and Utah, and maximum speed limit there is 80 miles an hour.
Yeah, I was on a toll road. I got on a toll road somewhere down in central Texas, last time I was there. And sure enough, when I pulled onto that toll road, it said speed limit 85. I said, man, that's great.
Wow, but don't go a mile over it or they'll pull you over.
If you go 2 miles over the speed limit, they'll pull you over and
wow.
Give you a ticket.
Yikes, that's not good.
They might give you 1 mile an hour, but not two.
Wow. You know, we've got that problem here. It's called Germantown, the community I live in. you hit that Germantown city limit and you're driving anywhere, I think 42, I think you're right, 2 miles over the speed, they'll pull you over. And they're waiting. I know where they, Dylan, I know where they hide.
I do too.
They're in the bushes.
I know exactly where they hide.
They get a lot of people too.
Oh, I know. They've almost gotten me.
And I get people, they honk the horn, get out of the road, old man. And you have to drive 40. And if you don't, they'll pull you over. That's how they make their money.
This is very true. They don't mess around.
No, they do not. So you're going to wear out some brake pads. Just hit those brakes. All right, let's go to Richard in Ocala, Florida, WOCA. Hi, Richard. What's going on?
Howdy, Mr. Todd. Oh, just enjoy listening to you old guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Todd, you were talking about Tucker Carlson. I don't believe he's conservative, and I don't believe he has been for years. I remembered something I seen on television. I don't have a TV. Have it most of my life, but I was at some friend's house back in 2020 when they stole the election. Well, anybody with half a brain, a third of it working, knew that Trump won that election with the biggest landslide in history up to that point. And there was a guy named Rudy Giuliani, you know, the ex-mayor from
New York. I know Rudy, yeah.
And there was some lady, I forget her name, and they were searching for evidence. They went to Europe, they went different places, and they gathered all kind of evidence, and they was presenting it that it was absolutely without a shadow of a doubt that was being stolen, and they showed us how it was. And Tucker, I remember distinctly, I got very upset at him. He was mocking her, putting her down on television, calling her a liar, basically. I forget the exact words he used, but belittling her. And I knew then that Tucker was on the wrong side, because anybody that kept up with it knew that Trump won that election. And I realized then that Tucker was not a conservative, and he was on the left-hand side. And that's just my opinion on that. And another thing, if I got a minute, all this terrorists, these people that stand up for the so-called Palestinians, there's never been a Palestinian nation in the history of the world. All of that is pushed by the communists. They are backed by the Soros, which was a Russian. They are backed by the communists, and that's hand in hand what they're doing to destroy us. It's not just the so-called Palestinians and the terrorist group. They're backed by communist Russia.
Oh, well, that is interesting. Look, I want to go back to Tucker for a second, Richard. And the reality is, at the end of the day, I've never really took Tucker's opinion for much. I mean, it's his opinion. And the problem, though, and there are a lot of other people in the conservative world who have the same problem. It's that whatever the popular opinion of the day is, they're going to adapt that. And that tells me that really there is, at least on those issues, that they sort of go with where the where the popular kids go. And, you know, and that's fine. People make a lot of money doing that. That's just not how I run my show or run my website. I have opinions, and the same opinions I've had today are the ones that I had, 20, 30 years ago. And no need to change, in my estimation. Richard, I hate to do this, my friend, but we have got to go. We are so late for a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, coming up tomorrow, Open Line Friday, and we have got a jam-packed show for you tomorrow. I will say, I was going through the book during the break, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America, got the author copies in yesterday afternoon, and got a word from a good many of you, and we would love for you to let us know once you have pre-ordered the book. But Dylan, you're in the book. Did you know that? You're in the book.
Todd, I'm honored.
Mm-hmm.
Is it a good thing?
It's a good thing.
Okay.
It's a good thing. Helen's in the book, and Ian is as well.
Oh, my gosh. The whole team.
Yeah, yeah. So KWAM Radio made that. One of the things I love about the book, they actually added an index this go-around, so you're not having to, search around.
Yeah, you can actually fact-check the book yourself.
Yeah, there are about 30 pages of endnotes. It's a lot. But again, we wanted to make sure that people, we got all of our info right. So anyway, get yourself a pre-ordered copy of The Golden Age. It'll be in stores August the 11th. That is book launch day. We're going to be throwing a big shindig here in the Memphis area. We'll tell you more about that coming up. But right now, we just need your help. Pre-order right now a copy of The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. All right, ToddStearns.com. Go check out our website if you want some free stuff. We got a lot of it there. You're going to want to read this story, though, about the woman and the Detroit Tigers. Insane story over at ToddStearns.com. Be good, everybody.